My humble obeisances to all the devotees of Avatari Desh and Balaram Desh and other parts of India who have joined. Vancha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhuvevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrindaki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Damodhar Bhagwan Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gauni Thai Ki Jai, Lakshmi Nishingadev Bhagwan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Apne Apne Gurudev Ki Jai. Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya Cha, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namah. Namo Pankajanabhaya, Namo Pankajamaline, Namo Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangri. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gnanam Janashalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskrityan Narancheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudire Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naischiki Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Hare Krishna. So the upcoming festival is Govardhan Puja. So I thought I'll take something related to that. At the same time, I'm not thinking to speak on Govardhan Puja because we always hear so much about Govardhan Leela and Govardhan Puja process. But today we will speak about something that happened after the Govardhan Puja. So we will be talking about the prayers of Indra. So I'll be speaking on the prayers of Indra, which is in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27. So if you want, you can take out Srimad Bhagavatam and we will go verse by verse. So prayers of Indra, they're very short but very profound. They start from text 4 to 13, hardly 10 slokas. And this chapter 27 has around 28 slokas. So what I'm going to do is, we won't dwell deeper into each and every sloka, but I will run through all these slokas and we'll try to complete this whole chapter in 1 hour time. So giving you the background of the story, of the katha, of the leela of Krishna is, we know that Krishna enters into the Pauganda stage. So like in the Krishna's age, we know that from birth to 5, it's called Kumar Avastha, Kumara age of Krishna. And then from 6 to 10, it is Pauganda. And from 11 to 15, it is Kishora. And after that, it is Yovana. So now Krishna has already entered the Pauganda age. And the Gopashtami leela is over. The Brahmavi Mohan Ramamohan Leela is over. Now what is happening is, Krishna is around 7 years old, and it is on the day of Diwali time, and everybody is very busy. So Krishna is very curious, because every time wherever Krishna goes, he is the center of attraction everywhere. So he sees that today nobody is giving him bhav, nobody is talking to him much, everybody is very busy. So he's just finding out what is keeping everybody so busy. The gopis are not talking to him. Mother Yashoda is saying, don't disturb me, I'm busy cooking something. So then he goes and asks his father Nanda Maharaj that what's exactly happening. So then Nanda Maharaj reluctantly says, okay, I'm busy, but look, this is what is happening, and we are preparing for Indra Puja. So then the whole conversation goes to and fro with Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, where Krishna argues with Nanda Maharaj, gives him logic that why are you worshipping Indra, why not you worship Govardhan. And finally Krishna manages to convince Nanda Maharaj and the Vrajavasis, and they all decide to worship Govardhan Hill. So then they all go with lots of fruits and sweets and savories and offerings, wearing new clothes and with the wagons full of items drawn by the oxen, in a procession, happily dancing and singing up to Govardhan. And after that they offer everything to Govardhan, and we know how Krishna himself is Govardhan. So he appears in a big form, he accepts all the offerings, and the Vrajavasis become so happy. They do parikrama of Giriraji and go back home. And then we know Indra gets very angry, he feels very embarrassed, he feels very humiliated that how come my puja was stopped and a hill was being worshipped. So then out of anger, Indra sends some Vartaka clouds, which is supposed to be sent only during the universal annihilation. So he starts sending rain and hail and thunder and, you know, try to kill the Vrijavasis. But then Vrijavasis go and take shelter of Krishna, and then Krishna with his little finger lifts the Govardhan Giriraji, and for 7 days and seven nights he gives shelter to the Vrajavasis. Now Indra, who's been watching all this, his pride is shattered, he becomes humiliated, he gets to his senses and he understands his mistake. So he immediately withdraws the cloud, withdraws the wind, and everything becomes peaceful. So then Krishna drops the Giriraji back in place, and everybody goes back home. There the story ends. Now comes to our chapter today, chapter 27. What happens after Govardhan Puja? So after Govardhan Puja, Indra is unhappy because he did a mistake. He has realized what he has done. So now he wants to ask forgiveness to Krishna. So now this chapter 27 starts, where Indra has gone to Brahmaji and he's asking Brahma for help, and Brahma says, why not you take this Surabhi cow with you, because it looks like you have a conflict with Krishna. So for this conflict resolution, better you take a mediator with you, and Surabhi is a safe mediator, because I myself have committed a mistake previously of offending Krishna by stealing his calves and all. So I won't be the right candidate to come and negotiate between you and Krishna. Better you take Surabhi, because Krishna loves his cows, Gomata, and she will be the safe mediator. So then Indra keeps Surabhi in the front and he is behind, and he is going to Vrindavan. So that brings us to our chapter today. Shri Suko Uvacha. गोवर्धनाधृते शैले आशारद्रक्षिते व्रजे गोलोकात् अव्रजात् कृष्णं सुरभि सक्रयेव च. सो सुखदेव गोस्वामी इज सेइंग दैट after Krishna lifts the Govardhan Hill, protects the Vrajavasis from the terrible rainfall with the mother Surabhi, Indra has come now to ask forgiveness. Then in the text too, Sukadeva Goswami says that Indra is so ashamed of having offended the Lord, and he approaches the Lord in a solitary place. Now Indra, he just falls down and he lays his helmet on the lotus feet of the Lord. So here in the purport, it is said that in the Harivamsa Puran, it is mentioned that purposely Lord made an arrangement whereby Indra could find Lord in the solitary place, because Krishna didn't want to humiliate Indra further. He was already humiliated, and now asking forgiveness in front of everybody would not be nice. So Krishna is in a solitary place. He's somewhere in the foothills of Govardhan, sitting all alone, and Indra goes and pays obeisances to him. Then in the text 3, it says that Indra, holding his hands together in supplication, starts speaking with the Lord. And now from the text 4, actually starts the Indra Stuti. So now Indra says, my dear Krishna, he says that your transcendental form is a manifestation of pure goodness. My Lord, you are undisturbed by change, shining with knowledge and devoid of passion and ignorance. So here he is praising Krishna. He says, my Lord, you are in pure goodness and you don't get affected by passion and ignorance, which is based on illusion and ignorance. You do not exist, in you does not exist the mighty flow of the modes of material nature. Of course, there is a very, very beautiful commentary by Sridhar Swami, which you can read at home. I'm just going to run through this because we want to complete this whole chapter. And then in the next verse, Indra says, how then could there exist in you the symptom of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger and envy, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence? Now, in the purport, Sridhar Swami is explaining, why is Indra talking about all these things? Krishna, you are in goodness, passion and ignorance cannot affect you. You are not punishing me because of greed, lust, anger and envy. Why? Because a layman may misunderstand Krishna. They may think this whole incident very simplistically. They may think, "Arey, what is this? Indra is supposed to be given taxes. The Vrajavasis, they didn't give the taxes. So Indra is simply punishing them because they didn't give the tax. And now Krishna is not allowing Indra to do what is rightful his. He's supposed to punish if they don't get taxes. So now Krishna is embarrassing him and is not allowing him to function. This is not fair." They may think like that. So that is why Indra, in the beginning of his stuti, he says, my Lord, it's not that you are getting angry because you have envy, anger, lust and all those qualities in you. No, my Lord, you are doing it because you want to punish, because you want to protect the religious principles and you want to curb down the wicked. And he addresses, oh Krishna, you are Bhagavan, indicating that he's not an ordinary child, and you know, it's not that he has committed any mistake. And then in the further verse, Indra also clarifies in the text 6, saying that you are Pita, you are Guru, you are Jagatam Adhishto. My Lord, you are a father, you are Guru, you are the Supreme Lord, you have all right to punish. There is nothing wrong you have done by punishing me. And he says that basically you punish the sinful for their own benefit. So whenever the Lord punishes somebody, it is for their own benefit. And then he says, then that way you remove the false pride of those who think themselves as the master of this world. And then in the next line, Indra accepts himself as a fool. He said, my Lord, I am a fool. I am proudly thinking of myself as the universal Lord. And you have punished this mischievous only to instruct them. You punish somebody only because you are thinking about their welfare, just to instruct them. And then in the next sloka, Indra says that, my Lord, I have offended you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I have offended you. And then in the next verse, he says, my Lord, why have you come to this world? You have come for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet. So you have come for your devotees. I'm also your devotee. Please forgive me my offenses. And in the next text, Indra says, my obeisances to you. You are all pervading. You reside in everybody's heart. So why Indra is mentioning that? He just wants to tell Krishna, Krishna, you know my heart. I've changed now. Whatever pride was there in my heart has gone. And even if I don't express it to you, you are in my heart. You are in everybody's heart. You are all pervading. So you know. Kindly forgive me. You are the chief of the Yadu dynasty. My obeisances to you. Then in the next text 11, Indra says that you take up a transcendental body according to the desire of your devotees. I offer my obeisances to you, and you are the seed of everything and you are the soul of all creatures. Then in the next text, Indra says, "My dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became very angry because of false pride. Thus, I tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind." Now, this is a very, very important sloka, because in this sloka, Indra says something very, very important. He accepts his disease. He makes a diagnosis of his disease. He said, "My Lord, what did I do? I tried to kill your Vrajavasis. How did I try to kill them? By sending rain and wind. Why did I do that? Because I was angry. Why I became angry? Outerly, I became angry because you disrupted my puja. But actually, you know, Lord, what is the real problem? Anger comes because of false pride." And I thought that was such a beautiful point for all of us sadhakas. Indra has diagnosed the disease so nicely. He said, anger comes from false pride. Actually, not only anger, all the anarthas that we carry comes from false pride. This false pride, false ego is a very big problem. Actually, this false pride is a very big problem. See, if we have a disease in our body, let's say we have a physical disease. Let's say today I have some malaria or typhoid, or let's say somebody is suffering from COVID or cancer. It's not a big thing, because after this life, they'll give up that body and they'll get a new body, fresh body. The disease that you get in this body, you don't carry to another life. If you get COVID here, you don't carry COVID to your next life. But there is another body, that is a subtle body, which is of mind, ego and intelligence. Now that is a problem, because that body, we don't give it up. It comes with us. So even after I change my physical body, I'll be carrying my mind, ego and intelligence to another body and to another body and to another body. That means they're going to stay with me for long, until I go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada says it doesn't get dissolved. The subtle body doesn't get dissolved. That means I really need to work hard on my mind, ego and intelligence, because I can't replace them. There is no Amazon policy. I can't replace. I can't get refund. They are with me. They'll always stay with me. That means I have to work on them. So our main problem is false ego. Today we are all away from Krishna is because of false ego. But the problem is, we keep working on our physical body, but we don't work on our subtle body. But physical body is temporary, but the subtle body will be with us permanently, at least for some time, till we are in this material world. That means we really need to work. And Indra here has diagnosed such beautifully. He said, anger came because of my false pride. And I thought that was really, really beautiful point. False pride. What is this false pride? What is this false pride? Sometimes people misunderstand the definition of false pride. They think false pride means, let's say if I'm very arrogant and I have a lot of pride and I think everybody as, below me and, not qualified. That is not false pride. That is not false pride. False pride is when you think that you know better than Krishna. When you think you know what's good for you. When you think you are independent of Krishna. That is what is false pride. When we think we are independent of Krishna, when we think we know what is good for us, what is good for our welfare, when we think we know better than Krishna, that is false pride. And frankly speaking, we are all suffering with false pride. Every single day of our lives, we are living in constant false pride. I know what's good for me. I know what to do. I know what will happen. I know what will benefit me. We are not surrendered to Krishna's plan. We are not surrendered to Krishna because we have false ego. So here what happened? Krishna shattered the false ego of Indra. And after that, what Indra did is also so important. What happened after his ego was shattered? Indra surrendered to Krishna. Indra surrendered to Krishna. We all also have false pride, which comes out of our material assets, material possession, our prestige, our identity. I am this in so-and-so company. I'm so-and-so person. I'm so-and-so service I have done. So all that false pride is coming because of our prestige, assets, our relationships. And whether you like it or you don't like it, someday you'll have to give it up. Either you renounce it, or you will be deprived of it, because at death everything is gone. Right? Mrityu sarva harasyam. Everything is gone when you die. But if you die before you die, that means if you kill your ego before you die, then you will go with a pure subtle body. But if you don't, then you will be carrying, you will die physically, but you will be carrying that false ego again to the next life and then again to the next life. So what we need to do is to die before we die. The exact words of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, he said, die before you die. That means the we need to renounce or we need to give up our false ego. So what do? Surrender to Krishna. Sometimes Krishna may take away all our material assets. Then what do? Whether we are honored or whether we are dishonored, we take shelter of Krishna. We surrender to Krishna is what Bhagavatam is depicting time and again, repeatedly. That is the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. What to do in this kind of a situation? And here Indra gives such a nice example by surrendering. Now we may think, what's the big thing? It is simple. It's not simple. Indra is the king of heaven. Hundreds and thousands of kings around the world, in all over the universe, are giving him oblations, sacrifices. And one little small village, Vrindavan, they refuse to worship Indra. And they're worshipping a hill. So you can imagine how much dishonor he must have felt. And for an honorable person, if you dishonor him, it is a death. For a respectable person, if you don't respect him, it is a death. So here Indra is in a bad situation. He's been thoroughly insulted. This is something like, you know, you are in a boxing match and you are a world champion boxer and you are just hitting the other guy, and the other guy, nothing happens to him. He simply smiles and the whole world is watching it live on television. You'll be embarrassed. The whole world, everybody was watching Siddhaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Gandharvaloka. Everybody is watching this show. Indra is trying to disturb, kill the Vrajavasis. And not even a small hair of Vrajavasi has been disturbed. They're all so happy. Imagine how much embarrassment it is for Indra. But then what he does after that is so sweet. He surrenders to Krishna. He surrenders to Krishna. He takes shelter of Krishna. This is what we learn in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that everybody in Srimad Bhagavatam is always successful, but what they do when they fail is so important. You see, like Mohini Murti. When Lord came as Mohini Murti Avataram in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see how Lord Shiva was thoroughly embarrassed. He was so famous for his renunciation, but he's running behind Mohini Murti. But then what he does after that, after he's embarrassed, he doesn't shy away, hide his face. He just accepts. He said, yes, my lord, you're very powerful. Yes, I got attracted, you know, only you can do that, you know. So like that, what do we do? We supposed to take shelter of Krishna, right? So this is what is said in this sloka. It says that, my dear lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry, and thus I tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind, and this has all come because of my false pride, right? See, what happens when the false ego in us increases, then the anarthas in us increase. When the anarthas, they take over our consciousness, then we lose the sense of proportion. We don't know what to do next. Like, see what exactly happened here in Indra's case. This is something like, let's say you didn't pay your telephone bill. You didn't pay your electricity bill. You didn't pay your water bill. What will the government do? They'll cut you off your facility. They'll cut your water line. They'll cut your electricity line. They'll cut your telephone line. But will they come and throw a nuclear bomb in your house? Hey, you didn't pay the tax. Now I'll want to kill you. I'll throw nuclear bomb in your house. They don't do that. But that is what Indra did. The Vrajavasis, they didn't pay the tax. So instead of punishing them by cutting away their facilities, Indra tried to simply kill them. He wanted to kill them. So what has happened is Indra has lost his sense of proportion. So the magnitude of crime is having no correlation with the magnitude of punishment. The punishment Indra is trying to give is way beyond what is the crime committed. So why has this happened? Because Indra lost his sense of proportion. Why did Indra lose sense of proportion? Because he is clouded by anarthas. Why did the anarthas come? Because it comes from the false ego, from the false pride. Right. So what should we do at that kind of a situation? We surrender to Krishna. We surrender to Krishna when the false pride is destroyed. Whether in honor or dishonor, we should surrender to Krishna. What kind of surrender? Now, surrender is also of two types. One is the surrender of Draupadi. What did Draupadi do? When Dushasan was trying to disrobe her, she simply put her two hands above. She was completely surrendered to Krishna. And the other kind of surrender that we see is with Arjun. Yes, Arjun also surrendered, but what was his surrender? At the end of Krishna telling the Bhagavad Gita, the kind of surrender that Arjun did was, he fought for Krishna with more diligence. So that means surrender is also of two types. One is you completely depend on Krishna, and one is you diligently work for Krishna. Now, why I am clarifying this is, sometimes when we speak about surrender with the devotees, they manipulate this word surrender and they manipulate this word dependence on Krishna by becoming lazy. Now, dependence on Krishna does not mean that you become lazy and you don't work. So, there are two things here. Those things which is under your control, that for those things you diligently work for Krishna. And those things which are not under your control, for them you become completely dependent on Krishna. This is very important. Otherwise, imagine imagine devotees stop working. Let's say today I call you all for a feast at Vishakhapatnam, and when you come, I'll say I'm just depending on Krishna. Krishna will make arrangements. No, that doesn't work like that. I get everything, I make all preparations, I work hard, and then if it is not tasting properly or I couldn't do, that is then surrendering or depending on Krishna. But otherwise, as devotees, just like Arjun, he didn't put down his bow and arrow and say, I depend on Krishna. He diligently worked for Krishna. With focus, he worked for Krishna. So this is the surrender that we are talking about. So surrender means devotees are so confused about this. They will ask, but how much to depend on Krishna? And how much to depend on our endeavor is a very big confusion. How to balance? That is a regular question I get. Now, my answer for this is, you work so hard as if the result of that work is dependent on you and your endeavor. And you pray so hard to Krishna as if the result of work is dependent on Krishna. That means you pray hard as if Krishna is going to do everything, and you work hard as if you are doing everything. So that is the way we do our best, and we leave the rest for Krishna. So that is what it means by surrender to Krishna, or depending on Krishna. Depending on Krishna does not mean that we become lazy. So here he has surrendered to Krishna. So he just comes, you see the sloka number 13. He says, oh my Lord, you have shown me mercy by shattering my false ego and defeating my attempt. To you, to the Supreme Lord, Spiritual Master and Supreme Soul, I have now come for shelter. He says, I am taking your shelter, my Lord. You have destroyed my false pride. So this is a sign of intelligence. Srila Prabhupada says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, sloka number 4 and 5 in the purport, he says, what is a sign of intelligence? When you know what to do, what not to do. That is a sign of intelligence. The sign of intelligence is when you know what to do, when you don't know what to do. You know what to do when you don't know what to do. So sometimes we are put in a situation where we don't know what to do. So when we are put in that kind of situation, we should have that much intelligence to understand that we should surrender to Krishna. So we should surrender to Krishna when we don't know what to do. So now what is happening here with Indra? Simply surrenders to Krishna. My Lord, I surrender to you. I take your shelter. You have destroyed my false pride. It's very important, because See, in this material world, nothing is going to stay with us permanently. There will be so many situations in our life. We may lose our job. We may lose our material assets. All that which we relate with our identity, our personality, our prestige, you know, we may lose at any time. So we should be prepared what to do in that kind of situation. When we are honored also, we approach Krishna. When we are dishonored also, we approach Krishna. In every situation, we take shelter of Krishna. So very, very important point here. Then we go to the next sloka. Here it says, Sukadeva Goswami says, thus glorified by Indra, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiled and then spoke to him as follows. So here Indra's stuti ends, the 10 slokas end, and then Sukadeva Goswami is saying that now Krishna is smiling. And I thought that was also such a beautiful point. See, Indra was trying to murder the Vrajavasis, cold-blooded murder. But still, when he took shelter of Krishna, Krishna has forgiven him. Krishna is smiling. And I think that is very, very important thing that we see in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, that again and again the Bhagavatam is reminding us or informing us that Krishna is a merciful God. He is not a vengeance God, you know, hey, you did that to my Vrajavasis, now see what I'll do to you. Krishna is always ready to forgive. In many of my classes I'll be mentioning that Krishna is so sweet. When Putana came to kill Krishna, Krishna says, I don't see the intention. I simply see the action of my devotee. She has tried to feed me milk. I give her points. What is her intention is not my problem. Then when we ask Krishna, but then what about Sabarimata? What about Sabarimata? Her action was not good. She was feeding you with the berries which were eaten by her. Then Krishna says, look, I don't care about action. I see intention. Sabari's intention was to feed me with sweet berries. Then we say, but Krishna, what about Indra? His action was also not good. His intention was also not good. Then Krishna says, I don't care about intention or action. But he came and asked forgiveness. Na? That's why I forgive him. That is how Krishna is. He is so sweet. He is always thinking how to protect my devotees, how to save them. So here Indra has committed such a gross crime. But Krishna is smiling. No frown. That is Krishna. He is so, so merciful. So Krishna has forgiven Indra. There is no frown. Then in the next sloka, Lord starts speaking. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Lord says, oh, my dear Indra, now Krishna is clarifying so sweetly like a father. He says, out of my mercy I stop your sacrifice. Baba, I don't want to do anything. But see, out of my mercy I stopped your Indra Puja. Don't feel so bad about it. Because there was a problem with you, my son. What you were? You were intoxicated by your opulence as a king of heaven. And I just wanted that you should remember me. So sweet, Krishna is clarifying. My dear son, Indra is Krishna's son. He said, look, you were intoxicated. Were you not? You were intoxicated with false pride. I just wanted to help you. So Krishna mentions a very, very important point here. He says, I want that you should always remember me. And I thought that was so nice because, see, by this sloka, Krishna is trying to tell us that what Krishna values most is we should remember him. So all these Purushottamas, Damodarmas, Ekadashi Vrata, Kartik Vrindavan Yatra, Puri Yatra, Bhakti Viksha program, Bhakti Shakshi schedules, exams, all that we are doing. Basically, we are doing all this only for one thing. What Krishna basically wants is, by all these activities, what we are trying to achieve is, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And you see, here Krishna is openly telling it, I want you to always remember me. So all this vrata, all this process, this is all for remembering Krishna. All this renunciation that we are doing, all this resistance that we are trying to show, not getting tempted, trying to save our senses, protect our senses, is basically we are doing all these things because for our spiritual growth, it is very important that we remember Krishna. Now, sometimes it may so happen that we may resist our senses, we may win the battle with our senses, but we may fail in devotion. And sometimes we may fail the battle of resisting our senses, but we may grow in devotion. Now, hear this carefully, because this may seem a little contradictory. How can that be possible? I'll repeat again. Sometimes we fail in resisting temptations, but we win in spiritual life. We succeed in spiritual life. But on the other hand, we may win the battle of resisting our senses or saving ourselves from temptation, but we may lose the battle in spiritual life. Why does happen? I'll give you an example. Sometimes it may bring ego in us, and if the false pride creeps in, then again we are back to square one. For example, let's say today is Nirjala Ekadashi. Now, I have won the battle. Though so many Ekadashi feast prasadam is right in front of me, but I have resisted the temptation. No, I want to do Nirjala. So, I have won the battle. I have resisted, no temptations, I'm not attracted. But, let's say, after that, I go to the prasadam hall and I check who all are eating prasadam. And then I look at them. She's so fallen. She's taking prasadam. Hey, she's useless. This person so attached. Why is taking prasadam on Ekadashi? Hey, look at that person. So much sagudana khichdi. These people are fallen, useless, sinful. Now what happened? I must have fasting my body, but I'm feasting my ego. I'm so happy. I'm better than the others. I'm doing so well. Every Ekadashi I do Nirjala. Every Ekadashi I fast up to 12. I do this. I do Jagran. I chant 64 rounds. But look at these people. They don't do anything. So I must have won the battle of resisting temptation, but I lost the battle of my spiritual growth, my devotion, because I got pride. I go down. And on the other hand, let's say I could not resist temptation. I ended up eating on Ekadashi, though it was a Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi. I ate Sagudana Khichdi, I ate everything, whatever possible, full stomach. Now what happens? I lost the battle. I could not resist myself. But I may win spiritually, because now I may feel guilty. Everybody is doing so well. They're fasting so nicely. They're following Bhishma Panchaka so nicely. They're following Kartik Man so nicely. But I'm not able to do it. Krishna, please help me. Krishna, I need you. I'm not so capable. I'm not able to fight my temptation. Krishna, please help me. Without you, I can't do anything. Now what has happened? This has made me humble. And the moment I become humble, my spiritual growth will go up. Right? You understand? So there is such a beautiful thing, right? See, in the spiritual life, there are two things required, which is so important for our spiritual growth. One is desire for Krishna, and the other is need for Krishna. Desire for Krishna means that happens only for pure devotees. They have a spontaneous desire for Krishna. Krishna, you are so attractive. Krishna, I like you. Krishna, I love you. Krishna, I want you in my life. They have a desire for Krishna, spontaneous attraction for Krishna. Pure devotees, they don't need any help from outside. We may not be on that level. Maybe we are not attracted to Krishna that way. But we can develop need for Krishna. Krishna, I am fallen. I need your help, Krishna. I cannot do this without you. Please help me. Please protect me. That's all right. Even if we don't have desire for Krishna, if the situations in our life increase our need for Krishna, that is also very good. It will help us in our spiritual growth. So, we may also want to have desire for Krishna, and that will happen one day. When we keep associating with other devotees who have desire for Krishna, ultimately one day we'll get desire for Krishna. But as of now, even if we are on the level of need for Krishna, even if it is for our materialistic ambitions and materialistic desire, that's all right. But at least we should feel the need for Krishna in our life. So the whole point is our Krishna consciousness is not renunciation-centered. It is Krishna-centered. We are thinking about Krishna. What we renounce is not important. See, it's not about our disconnection with material things. It is about our connection with Krishna. How much connected we are with Krishna will help us in our spiritual growth. So, jeno teno prakarena, we have to somehow get connected to Krishna, get absorbed in Krishna. That will help our spiritual growth. So we have to develop that understanding. Not only disconnection with the material world, but connection with Krishna. That is what Krishna is telling here. Indra, I just want that you should remember me. That's all Krishna is saying. And that's all Krishna wants from all of us. He just wants that we should remember him. Remember him. So that's why Krishna is saying, look, Indra, because of that, I stopped your puja. Because of that, I stopped your puja, because I want that you should remember me. Right? And then we go to the next sloka. See, even in our lives, there may be certain situations Krishna will purposely create so that we can remember him, right? Like you see, you know, how what Krishna did with Bali Maharaj. Krishna took away everything. Somebody had outrightly may say Krishna has cheated Bali Maharaj, but it's not cheating. Sometimes a child is having a knife in the hand and you cheat the child. Hey, look here, come on, give me this, and then you give some chocolates and take the knife away. Is that cheating? It's not cheating. You took the knife away because that will hurt the child, and in return you gave lots of chocolates and candies to the child. So Krishna took away all the wealth from Bali Maharaj because that was not helping his consciousness. And then Krishna gave himself to Bali Maharaj. So like that, yes, Krishna will sometimes take away, but then that is for our betterment. So Krishna is saying, that is why I stopped your puja, so that you can remember me. And then in the next sloka, Krishna says that, you know, he puts it in words that I do that with devotees. He says, a man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his material fortunate position, like what he did with Bali Maharaj, right? So what Krishna says, you see in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Krishna says that if I love somebody, if I am specially favorable to them, then what do? Harishe tad dhanam. I take away everything from them. So this is what Krishna is saying. Same thing here. I drag them down from their materially fortunate position. So Krishna does that just to help us. Because the moment we are taken away from our position, then our ego goes away. See, the thing is, this ego, false ego, pride, arrogance, all these lust, anger, whatever, this is present in everybody. Whether devotee, non-devotee, demon, devata, everybody has that. The only difference is, the devotees, they fight against those qualities and take shelter of Krishna. The demons, they take shelter of those qualities. That's only difference between demon and devatas. Demons take shelter of that qualities. Devotees fight against those qualities and take shelter of Krishna. So here Krishna is saying that I take away. If I specially favor them, then I take away. Right? Krishna makes us humble by taking away those things which we identify with. Is it not? We all have a functional identity. Somebody may think, I'm a preacher, I'm a businessman, I'm a doctor, I'm this, I'm so and so. But if that particular identity is bringing false pride in us, and if Krishna wants to specially favor us, then he will take away that functional identity from us so that we can remember our fundamental identity, which is being part and parcel of Krishna, which is being servant of Krishna. So when we forget that, Krishna has to take away our functional identity so that we remember Krishna. Sometimes that is why we see that our resources, so many things. See, resources are required, right? If we don't have resources, let's say today you don't have wealth, then can you serve Krishna? No. All this wealth, materially conducive situations are very important, because with that only we can serve Krishna. But we should not put them in front of Krishna. Resources are valuable, but we should not make them more valuable than Krishna. Resources are required for us to get attached to Krishna, but we should not get attached to the resources itself. Then we'll go far away from Krishna. So we shouldn't keep resources between us and Krishna. But Krishna says, when such a situation arises in your life, where you are keeping your resources in front of, between me and you, then I'll take away those resources. I'll take them away. That is what Krishna did here with Indra. So he said that I'm standing there next to everybody with the rod of punishment, but those who are intoxicated with power and opulence cannot see me. See, it's good to be having fear of Krishna, but as devotees, our motive is not to do service because of fear of Krishna. We want to please Krishna. See, whatever work we do in this world, it is like either you do out of fear, either you do out of desire, either you do out of duty. But the best is when you do out of love. So yeah, everything. See, small child, in the beginning stage, he will study hard because he's worried, father may beat me if I fail in exam. After some time, he will study hard because he will think it is my duty. If I don't study nicely, my parents have paid so much fees. He may think as a desire, if I study nicely, I'll get a good job. That's all right. But the best thing is, I should study well because I will please my parent. That's the best thing, out of love when you do something. So here, Krishna is saying, I stand there with the punishment rod, but as devotees, more than fear, we should try to do work to please Krishna. So here Krishna says that I'll drag that person down from his materially fortunate position. So we cannot ask like Kunti Devi that Krishna, please give us trouble so that we can remember, because we are not on pure devotee level. See, if you see in the seventh canto, when Narasimha Dev kills Hiranyakashipu, then Indra comes and says, "Oh, now we are very happy because you killed Hiranyakashipu. Now we can perform our puja, dharmic karyakram, whatever we were supposed to do nicely. Otherwise, we were so much disturbed by his atrocities." But if you see Prahlad Maharaj, he never said to Narasimha Dev, "Oh, now you killed Hiranyakashipu, my father. He was disturbing me so much. I could not chant my rounds properly. I could not do my chanting and remembering you. Now, because you kill, now I'll chant peacefully." No, even in that situation, when Hiranyakashipu was troubling him also, Prahlad was able to perform his bhajan very nicely in every situation. But we are not in that kind of situation. If little bit our material life get disturbed here, this way, that way, we'll stop our bhajan. So we are not on that level, you know. Same thing with Indra, he's not on that level. He said, after you kill Hiranyakashipu, now we can do our bhajan properly. So definitely, we are on a level where we need that our material situation should be conducive, material situation should be comfortable, but we should make sure that that doesn't come in between us and Krishna. And when it comes, then there are chances Krishna takes it away only if you are on that level where he has a very special liking for you. Otherwise, we are stuck in the material world with those material possessions between us and Krishna. And then in the last sloka, Krishna is telling Indra, "You may go now. It's okay. I've forgiven you. Now you go, remain in your appointed position as a king of heaven, but be sober and without false pride." Such a beautiful thing. So Krishna is not a vengeful God. "You did that, now I'll take away your position. You are no more Indra. Go now, you suffer in, you know, hell." No, you can keep your position if you are ready to change your disposition. If you are ready to change your attitude, you can keep your position. So Krishna is not there for punishing. He just wants to purify. So Krishna purified Indra, did all this drama, stopping his puja, did Govardhan puja. And then ultimately he says, "Indra, now you can go back and you can take your position." So I thought this was so beautiful, this Indra's prayers. It is giving such a beautiful life lesson for all of us that we need to work on our false pride. We need to work on our false pride. What to do with this false pride? We've been carrying this false pride with us from so many lifetimes, and it is not going to leave us. Only thing, we can purify it. We can purify it, right? We can work on it. So there are another 10 more minutes. I like to give quickly 5 to 6 tips of what we can do to curb our false ego. So one thing is, we can transfer credit. Usually ego comes when we try to take credit of the things we are doing. If we transfer the credit to Guru and Krishna, then there are less chances for us to get ego. That is why you see every day in the morning we say, you know, "Jai, Jai, Jai, all glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga." What are we doing? We're just trying to give glories to our Guru and Gauranga. Just like, you know, many times I give this example that, you know, in the Western countries, when they eat baked potatoes, they have such a beautiful system. When the mother bakes the potatoes, she doesn't give directly for eating. The mother gives it to the father passes the hot potatoes to the daughter passes to the son passes to another, and by the time it goes to the fourth or the fifth person, the potato becomes cool and then he can happily eat it. But if it is directly taken from the oven and eaten by the first person, he'll burn his tongue because it's very hot. Similarly, when we directly try to take credit of our things, we may burn ourselves. We may burn ourselves with ego. I did it. I'm so successful. But when we just transfer the credit to our Guru and Krishna, then there are less chances for us to get ego. So transfer credit. Second thing is sharing anarthas. Whenever we have some bad thoughts and whatever our anarthas are, don't hide them. When you hide something, it grows. So somebody in this world should know where we are actually, what is our mental level. Because in this world we wear so many masks. You know, in my school, when we have a fruits day celebration, my teachers, they all wear fruits mask. We have a vegetable day celebration, they all wear vegetable mask. You cannot even see their faces there. You can just see their sari and you can see a fruit mask. Similarly, we are all wearing mask every single day, so many masks. We want to present ourselves as a pure devotee, very nice devotee, very humble devotee, sweet devotee. And we wear so many masks, mask upon mask, that we forget who we really are. So we should remove those masks and try to be as open as we are, as it is, as Prabhupada said. Then there are chances for us to improve. Like there's very beautiful story of how once there was one man who was in a prohibited area trying to hunt animals. And then he heard that a forest officer has come. He could hear the jeep. Now he got worried. I'll be caught. They'll imprison me. I'm in a prohibited area trying to hunt animals. What should I do? Now he had already thrown an arrow and killed a wolf. But the wolf was half dead. So now just to save himself, what he did is he was wearing a long coat. So he hid the body of the wolf inside his coat. But now the wolf was half dead. So the wolf started eating the flesh of the hunter from inside. But the hunter is not able to make noise because the forest officer has just arrived and he's having a conversation with the hunter. How come you are here? What are you doing? So the hunter says, no, I'm just a nature lover. I'm just looking at the nature. It is so beautiful. But he's not expressing what's happening inside. And after half an hour, when the forest officer leaves, the hunter dies because the wolf inside his body has eaten up him completely. Sometimes it may happen to us also. We may try to put up a good show of being a great devotee, a pure devotee, but inside maybe there is no devotion left. The white ants, the termites are eating us up. So outside we may still look beautiful. We may still have a beautiful tulsi mala, kanti mala, nice tilak and nice japamala. But inside there may be so many things happening. But if you don't share it with the other devotees, then it will just eat you up like a termite. So we share our anarthas, we transfer the credit, we do menial service. If we do menial service, there are less chances for us to get ego, we'll become humble. When we do service, we get purified. I remember how once Madan Mohan Malviya, he had come to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he was asking so many questions. I have this question. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, why not you ask the devotees, they are serving in the kitchen, you can ask these questions to them. So he goes inside the kitchen and he asks the devotees. Devotees say, well, we are very busy. Can you help us cleaning the pots? Then we will answer your question. So then he says, all right, he's such a big man, Madan Mohan Malviya. Then he cleans the pots. After cleaning the pots, the devotees say, now the kitchen is clean. Now tell us what question you have. He says, I have no question. All my questions are answered. Just because he did service, he got purified, right? So when we do service, especially menial service, you know, which, you know, like cleaning the temple or cleaning the pot or in the shoe stand, you know, those kind of service that will make us humble. The other thing is, don't be in association of those people who praise you. Because if they keep praising you, we'll have exaggerated vision about ourselves. We have to be very careful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, I would like to have a neighbor who is always criticizing me. That way I'll check myself properly. There is a very, very famous story of how once Parasar Bhatta in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, he was in his temple sitting and some unknown man comes there and starts criticizing him. And his disciples get very angry. Hey, you are criticizing our guru. We'll push you out. We'll throw you out. But Parasar Bhatta says, hey, don't say anything. Let him talk. So he went on criticizing. After that, Parasar Bhatta gave him a nice gift and sent him home. The disciple asks, what is this, Guru Maharaj? And he says, no, actually, it's my mistake. when we stand in front of the Lord, we supposed to criticize ourselves, praise Lord, ask forgiveness, and then ask for a boon. These are the four stages of prayer. So I have been always glorifying the Lord, but I have never criticized myself in front of the Lord. Today, He did the 50% of my job. That's why I gave Him the gift. So I'm very happy with Him. In front of the deities, He criticized me. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, to stay in association of those people who will tell you your faults. So, share your, transfer your credit, share your anathas, do menial seva, stay in association of those who criticize, they make you humble. And the other thing is to read scriptures to get knowledge. Mainly, our false ego comes because of lack of knowledge. We know Krishna is great, but we don't know how great is Krishna. And because of that, we get false ego. If we can understand how great Krishna is, how simply from His breathing so many innumerable universes come out and go, then we'll not be proud about our small three-bedroom flat in some country. We'll not be proud about our fixed deposit, our money and material assets when we understand the Aishwarya of Krishna. See, when you see a hill from far, you know, in Vishakhapatnam we have so many hills. When you see the hills from far, they look very small. They look as if they can come in your hand, you know. But when you actually go close and you go close, you see the hill is huge, my God. Similarly, when we don't know much about Krishna, we think, what's a big thing? Oh, that's all right. But the more you know about Krishna, the more you understand how minute you are. So, to know more about Krishna. And one other way of purifying our ego, or rather, not purification, engaging our ego is, we can engage our ego in a healthy way. Let's say we are not able to give up ego. We have that habit, you know, I want appreciation from person, I want this. All right, you engage it in Krishna consciousness. That means you take certain vows. I'm going to do this much reading of Bhagavatam. I'm going to do this much in the month of Kartik. And then you go and share it with some devotee. You know, because the ego that you have will not allow you to fail. Arey, what will people think? I promised I'm going to do this Kartik month, this many rounds, and I don't do it. I have to tell them. So like that, we can engage our ego in such a way. Because immediately we can't give it up. It's a slow process. So slowly and steadily, as we keep on doing service and engaging in reading and hearing, one fine day we can give up our ego. And the other point, the last point is praying. Krishna can help us. Only Krishna can help us. So we pray to Krishna. I was just reading yesterday one very beautiful pastime of how the gopis, you know, they're carrying those mud pots full of butter, milk and curd. And Krishna, somewhere from behind the tree, is throwing those small pebbles, you know, and breaking their pot. And when Krishna is breaking their pot, all the yogurt, all the butter is falling on them and they're becoming drenched with that. So I was just thinking that maybe we should also pray to Krishna. That, my dear Lord, we are not carrying the pots of butter, yogurt or milk on our head. We are actually carrying pots of our false ego on our head. So can you please throw those pebbles and break the pot of our false ego? And once the pebbles from your hand touch us, our pots, those pots of ego will transfer into your mercy. And then we will be drenched with your mercy. So who are those pebbles with whom Krishna will break our pots of ego? They are the devotees, our devotee community. When we stay in the association of devotees, Krishna through His devotees correct us. Krishna through His devotees break our balloons of ego and false pride. So we should be ever grateful to Krishna and pray to Krishna that we always stay in this devotee community and the devotees help us to give up our false pride. So with this, I would like to end here. And the take-home lesson is that we take shelter of Krishna and we work on our false pride. So I'll end it here. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'll open it for questions if there are any. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. So I have got... One second. Okay, I have understood the question. So you're asking that India's false pride was shattered. He surrendered to Krishna, but then again his false pride cropped up, and he was reluctant to give parijat to Krishna. So how come the pride came back? Now that is the thing. This mind, ego, and intelligence, they are like a mafia. Now they keep on making issues. Now with the in the pure devotee's life, there is no problem because the intelligence and the mind, they are convinced that they are servant of Krishna. And in the materialistic people's life, there is no confusion because they are convinced that they have nothing to do with Krishna. They are independent, so they don't care about Krishna. So there is no confusion in the life of materialistic people, and there is no confusion in the life of pure devotees. But those who are sadhakas, there is always confusion, because sometimes we think we are servant of Krishna, but then on the other, sometimes we think no, we want to enjoy our senses. The problem is the mind is the one which gives instructions to the intelligence. The mind says, let us enjoy senses. And the intelligence will immediately say, yes, sir, and start making plans how to enjoy. So now what happens in the minds of the sadhakas, sometimes the mind, because of association of devotees and getting tamed up, says, hey, look, we are servant of Krishna. Then the intelligence says, yes, sir, let's start planning how to serve Krishna. But sometimes the mind says, no, I want to enjoy, we are the master. And the intelligence says, yes, sir, we'll do it like that. That is why you see the sadhakas are always confused. Whether they should enjoy the senses or they should not enjoy senses. Sometimes they are very much Krishna conscious, sometimes they are not. So this is what happens with them. So same thing with Indra. Indra is not a pure devotee. He's a mixed devotee. So sometimes he becomes completely surrendered to Krishna. Sometimes he's like, no, I'm the king of heaven. So this keeps on happening. He's always, going like a pendulum this way and that way. So this is what happened with Indra. And that is why he got his pride back in the event of Parijata tree. And second part of the question. What was the second part of the question? Okay. Now, what I read in some of the, what I heard in some of the Prabhupada lectures, the subtle body will destroy when we go back to Krishna. As long as we keep taking birth in this material world, the subtle body will move with us wherever we go, in whatever species. And once we go back to Krishna, it gets dissolved, is the right word actually I heard, dissolved. The subtle body gets dissolved. What to do when someone only sees faults in us, in spite to us repeating trying to make them happy? We receive only citizens' domination and controlling. What to keep yourself stable? Okay, so what I understand the question in nutshell is, sometimes we try to make people around us happy, but they always keep looking at our fault. So what to do? See, I've said this many times, we can't make anybody 100% happy. In this material world, our mind is such, it will always keep us unhappy. You see our mind, anytime you just observe and analyze how your mind works. Whenever you are sitting alone, just observe your mind. Either it will take you to the past and lament over something about the past, or it will take you to the future and create some anxiety about future. It will never allow you to stay in present. Our mind is always unsatisfied about the present. So it's not only with us, it is with everybody around us. So we cannot make anybody 100% happy, neither we can be 100% perfect in everything. We can only try to make people reasonably happy or reasonably perfect ourselves. The whole point is, everybody is independent. So, personally, we can't do anything to change anybody around us. We can't write their script. We can't do anything. The only thing we can do is change ourselves. Because that little bit independence Krishna has given to us to deal with ourselves. So, we can't change others. They're all come with previous Purva Janma Sukruti, Purva Janma Swabhavas. We can't do anything about it. They have been carrying that Swabhava with them. So even if somebody has a fault-finding swabhava, they've carried it from their previous life. So it's like many times I tell that, when they say that khali haath aaye hai, khali haath jayenge, it is so false notion. Nobody comes khali haath. We all come with the previous swabhava, baggage of previous swabhava. And when we leave this body, we'll again carry the luggage to the next life. You know, we'll be always having a carry forward and brought forward. Carry forward, brought forward. We never start in a fresh page. So whom, all these people whom we are dealing with us in our day-to-day life, nobody has a fresh page. They have some swabhava from the past. Some people have fault-finding swabhava. Some people have humility. Some people have sweet nature. Some people have anger. All this they're carrying from the previous life. Now, you can't go and change their previous life, or you can't go and change, make change in their balance sheets. What you can simply do is make change in yourself. So, what we can do is, we try our 100%, we try our best, and rest we leave it on the Lord. So, just like I told in today's class, we simply have to depend on Krishna over the things which we are not under our control. So, to make somebody appreciate us is not under our control. I can't make that person appreciate me. I cannot do anything about it. It's not in my hand. That is his swabhava. What I can do is, I can do my best. And then satisfy myself by checking myself. Did I do any mistake? Am I wrong anywhere? And just check ourselves, correct ourselves, purify ourselves. Keep doing self-correction, self-correction. That is all we can do. That is all we can do. We cannot change anybody. We cannot help anybody. We cannot correct anybody. We cannot change their behavior. Nothing we can do. But we can be corrected by others. Like I like, you know, Vaisyasika Prabhu, in one of his class he was saying, our life is to be corrected by others. Our life is not to correct others. That is what our life should be, the goal of our life. That's all right. So I feel one way, if somebody is fault finding all the time, one way it's good for us. Personally, I feel like that. Of course, I'm not trying to hurt your emotion, but I think good, na? We have somebody, you know, exclusively for that, to purify us. Go on telling our faults, go on telling our faults. So some faults may be genuine, some faults may be made up. Maybe that fault doesn't exist in us. That's all right. It's like a checklist. We keep checking, we keep checking. See, the whole point is, our journey towards Krishna is an independent journey. All right. So up to the dock, or up to the plane, everybody will be with us. After that, we have to fly our own plane. Nobody can help us. The pilot has to fly his own aeroplane. We can go up to the runway. Similarly, all these people whom we are associating with, they are with us up to the runway. After that, we have to fly our own flight. So don't worry so much about what they think, what they say. Oh, we can't make anybody happy in this world. We can only make Krishna happy. Krishna becomes very happy. With our little thing, he becomes very happy. So don't worry so much. Take it positively. That's all right. Take it positively. All right. If he's finding fault with me, okay, I'll try to correct myself, try to become better. Krishna has sent him to me so that I can become more humble. Sometimes, you know, if we have people around us who are always praising us, that's more dangerous. Because we'll really start thinking, I'm so good devotee, everybody praises me. That's more dangerous, actually. This is a better situation. But of course, I know it is easy said than done. I know it feels very bad when you are working so hard to satisfy people around you and they are never satisfied. Yeah, we feel bad, but what can be done? We just pray to Krishna, and certain things we have to simply leave on Krishna, you know. And we have to try, see, when you are sad, when you are depressed, when you feel bad about those things, just count your blessings, count the good things in your life. I'm sure everybody in this world, no matter what bad situation they're going through, I'm sure there are some things happening in their life which is good. For example, you are attending this program. This is so good, right? You could hear something about Krishna. You're associating with devotees. So nice. You have a human birth. So nice. You are able to chant Krishna's name. So nice. You have access to Krishna Prasadam. Wow. You have access to devotee community. See, so if you just start counting like that, you have so many good things in your life. So just start counting your blessings. Oh, this, so many nice things I have in my life. But yes, there are some situations that I have to bear. So that's about it. Everybody in this material world has to suffer. Either you suffer mentally, or you suffer physically, or you suffer health-wise, or you suffer by relationship, or you suffer by economically. But suffering is there. Nobody can escape suffering. So yeah, suffering you have to be. Everybody has a different flavor. Just like an ice cream has a different flavor, strawberry, vanilla, what you want. Suffering also has a flavor. So maybe Krishna, you know, by Krishna's arrangement, you have this kind of suffering. There may be some devotees who have some other kind of suffering. They may be having people around them who love them so much, so nice, but they may be having physical health problem. So like that, suffering is there in this world. So whenever you feel bad, just count your blessings. Okay, so nice. Krishna gave me so nice. See, You cannot be grateful about all the situations in your life, but you can be grateful amidst the situation in your life. That means you can't be grateful that, Krishna, I got a husband or I got a wife who is always finding fault with me. But at least you can be grateful that, Krishna, you gave me the opportunity to know about you, to associate with devotees, to take Krishna's prasad. I'm so grateful. I think if you can be happy in the little things that you get in your life and you can be grateful, you'll be happy. I feel you should forget and forgive. That's it. The happiest people in this world are those who have a short memory, who forget things and they can be happy. But people who keep remembering and they can't forgive people, they're the most unhappy people in this world. So just forget, forgive, try your best. We are all temporary. Do your best. Leave the rest on Krishna. I just hope this answer helps you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Yeah, yes. Very nice, very beautiful question. So you are asking that as my spiritual life is progressing, I feel that my anarthas are increasing. Spiritual life supposed to... One second, I have to slow my phone. There's somebody calling me. Okay. So you are saying that as my spiritual life progresses, my anarthas are supposed to reduce, but I see my anarthas are increasing. So how can we take this? Okay, very nice. See, when you clean a room which has been dirty for long time now, and you just take a broom and start cleaning, you know what will happen? The whole dust will go up in the air, it will go in your nose, it will go in your eyes, and you will feel the room was much better before I started cleaning. At least I could walk around in the room. Now the dust is everywhere. No, cleaning is happening. Cleaning is happening. Nothing to worry. This process is 100% guaranteed. If somebody is doing Krishna devotional service, if somebody has taken up to bhakti, for sure, slowly the anarthas will go away. Maybe you visibly can't see them and you may feel that they are growing. They can't grow. They can't grow. See, something like if somebody is taking prasadam, for sure the stomach will be full. You can't say, Mataji, I'm taking prasadam, Mataji, but stomach is not getting full. How can that happen? If you're taking prasadam, stomach will get full. If you're taking prasadam, you'll get nourishment. If you're taking prasadam, you'll get satisfaction. If you're taking prasadam, you'll feel happy and satisfied. It is a part of it. So you are following the devotional process, anarthas will go down. That is for sure. So if you're going somewhere wrong, check it yourself. But otherwise, this process is 100% guaranteed. It will go down. Initially, sometime, you may feel it's growing, it's becoming bigger. No, it's just going to calm down. Continue your process. See, sometimes you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, tell them, Doctor Ji, my stomach is paining. And the doctor gives you some medicine. Now, loose motion started. Continuously you are going to the loo and coming back, going to the loo and coming back. You may think this doctor is crazy. I told him my stomach is paining. Now he gave me such a medicine. Instead of the stomach pain going, I'm going to the loo. Yeah, you are going to the loo. But now what will happen? Once everything is cleared up, your stomachache will go away. So like that, sometimes apparently the things may feel, hey, it's not helping me. It's not helping me. No, it will help. You just have to have patience. You'll have to wait. Continue the process. It will happen. It's not a one-day process, you know. See, if you have children at home, they don't grow in one day, 5 feet or 4 feet. They grow every day. So if you take a measuring tape and you go and measure their height every day, you can't measure anything. You will see there is no change. My son is not growing. But after 2 years, after 1 year, after 6 months, you will see 1 inch they have grown, 2 inches they have grown. So like that, our spiritual life also. We may feel, because you can't measure every day how much your anarthas, you know, there is no tape for measuring our anarthas. But definitely there is some change. If not change in the anarthas, at least there will be some change in your reaction towards situations in your life. Definitely there will be some change. So just have patience. Wait, and it's working. This process is a tried and tested process. Previously also Acharya has followed it. And our previous Guru Parampara also following this process. So we've got it from the right source and it's going to work. We just need to wait. I may feel regret and sometimes approach Krishna, but again slowly settle back. Oh, are you trying to say that how do I keep the motivation, the momentum going? It's like your question is, how do you keep the momentum going? Sometimes, yes, you feel surrendered to Krishna, and sometimes you don't feel. So how do you keep the momentum going? Just try to be connected. Already Prabhupada gave us the sadhana process. So chant, offer food to Krishna, associate with devotees, do some devotional service, and be connected. And to keep yourself motivated, you keep hearing and connecting to Srimad Bhagavatam. For some time we need help. Of course, we need always help. But initially you need more help, and you need more help unless you can walk yourself. So as long as you need help, just keep taking more and more assistance from other devotees and keep yourself motivated. See, it's like, when you're physically down, what do? Just take some Glucon-D and you get all the energy. So when you are spiritually down, take the spiritual Glucon-D, the energy drink. Just take Srimad Bhagavatam and read. Just hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Associate with somebody who is super energetic in Krishna consciousness, and then, you'll be infected also. So keeping yourself motivated is just be with the right people. Just be with the right people. Not like-minded people, the right-minded people. Like-minded means those who are like us only. They may not be motivated themselves, and they will demotivate us also. So not like-minded, right-minded. Be with the right-minded people who are, above us in Krishna consciousness, whose association makes us feel more closer to Krishna and motivates us. Just take, whether it is physical association of that devotee or virtual association or whatever, and that way you can be motivated. Thank you so much for your kind words. You're very generous in praising me. All glories to Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. I'm more than happy to have association of all of you devotees in the Middle East. I personally visited there one or two times, and I'm in awe of the way you people render service to Guru Maharaj. You're so, so amazing devotees. So thank you, and please pray for me. Keep me in your prayers. Thank you so much. Baharupa Prabhu is also still online. My humble obeisances to him also. Thank you so much. So if I have permission, I'll leave now. Thank you so much. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindi ki cha Srila Prabhupada ki cha. Thank you, devotees. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.